Hello, this is Jim and Samantha. We pastor Abundant Life in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is a message from one of our services. We hope it inspires you, we hope it builds your faith, and we hope it helps you in your everyday life. Enjoy the message. Well, if you got your Bibles, let's go first of all to Proverbs chapter 4. And this morning, I want to share one thought with you that has life-altering capabilities. Isn't that awesome? Life-altering capabilities. And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to take notes today because I believe it would be something that God wants to remind us of, keep us focused on. But that life-altering principle I want to share with you this morning is your eyes have the power to change your life. Your eyes have the power to change your life. And really, when I was praying about the message and the Lord began to speak to my heart, and He shared these things with me, what you look at, you give attention to. So I said, first of all, that your eyes have the power to change your life. So whatever you look at, you give attention to. Okay? Whatever you give attention to sets the direction of your life. Whatever direction you take determines your destiny. And I noticed it all started with what you were looking at, right? Your eyes have the ability to transform your life. Whatever you focus on, whatever you look at, it's what you give attention to. Whatever you give attention to is the direction that you take. Whatever the direction that you take sets your destiny or your destination. It's just like, you know, well, I'll refer to this later, but when you're driving a car, right? Wherever you look is where you're going, right? And sometimes we can look and we look where we're going. We look where we're going to go before we go there, right? So our eyes kind of set the direction of our life. And the Bible has a lot to say. I was really talking about this morning and really want to emphasize the importance of what we look at, what we keep our eyes focused on. And the Bible, as I was thinking about it, the Bible has so much to say about the focus of our eyes, what we set our eyes on, what gets our attention. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, "My son, give attention to my words." Everybody say, give attention. "Give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes." Do not let them depart from your eyes. "Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." But notice he says, "Give attention to my words. Do not let them depart from your eyes." In other words, keep your eyes focused on the Word of God, right? And His principles and His things. Now, this is certainly not, I'm just going to give you a couple of instances in the Bible, but the Bible repeatedly talks about what you look at. Because what you look at sets the direction of your life, okay? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 12. You can also turn to Psalms 119, but in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation, Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sins that so easily trip us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." Notice verse 2. "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus." We do this. What do? We get rid of weights, we strip off sins, we run our race, we stay in the place God wants us to be. How do we do it? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Now, He wouldn't tell us to do that if we didn't have the opportunity to look at other things other than Jesus. That's why He said, keep your eyes on Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep your eyes on Jesus. He said, keep your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Psalms 119, verse 37, again, refers to eyes. And this time, two of these places, it talked about focusing on the right thing, but this one talks about not focusing on the wrong thing. Psalms 119, verse 37 says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things." So we can see, we can place our eyes on the right thing, or we can place that thing on the wrong thing, our eyes on the wrong thing, on worthless things. He said, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." So why is this so important, you know, what we look at and what we focus our, what is, why is what we focus our eyes on so significant is because your life follows your focus. Your life follows your focus. Focus shapes your direction, and direction shapes your destiny, right? So what we look at gets our attention. What we give attention to sets our direction, and what direction we take sets our destiny. And so vision is not just what we see with our physical eyes, what we perceive, what we pursue, and what we prioritize. So if I prioritize something in my life, then I'm setting my eyes on that. That's important to me. That's why he said, keep your eyes on Jesus, right? God has always led his people by giving them a vision, a picture of what could be and what should be under his leadership and rule. And as we follow that, we'll pursue that. But today, I want you to remember that what you fix your eyes on, let me say it another way, what you fix your eyes on will fix your life. What you fix your eyes on will fix your life. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, and let's take these principles that we talked about. The focus of your eyes, you know, whatever you focus your eyes on matters. Jesus taught us this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 through 23. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. But in Matthew 6, verse 22, New Living Translation, it says, your eye, everybody say, my eye. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your whole body. Notice this, when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light and if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? Jesus said your eye is like a lamp that provides light. If your eye is healthy, what does that mean? That means if I'm focusing on God, if I'm focusing on the Word of God, if I'm focusing on developing the character of God, walking in the will of God, that's my pursuit, that's my focus, that's where my eyes are headed, right? Then your whole body will be filled with light. Conversely, he says, if your eye is unhealthy. Now, some translations say when they translate unhealthy, it says bad or evil, right? And so what does that mean? Well, it means I'm focused on the other things. So greed, selfishness, lust, jealousy, partying, whatever it might be, then your whole body will be filled with darkness, right? And again, notice these things are the result of what you set your eyes on, right? What you set your eyes on. And so the thing is that the world, I've discovered this just living a little while in this world, the world is not wired for you to look at the things of God, right? God's people are here on a mission. And sometimes we live in this world, but we have to recognize that even though we live in this world, we're not from this world. This is, right, we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven, right? We're on a mission here to colonize earth for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we need, that means when we colonize, we set up kingdom culture here, right? We follow his principles here. And so we want to focus on his things here. But it's easy as we live in this world to become like the world, because the world doesn't make it easy for us to follow the kingdom, right? So it means that I'm gonna have to set my eyes on the kingdom. I'm gonna have to set my eyes on the things of God, because whatever I set my eyes on is the direction that I'm going to take in my life. And so your eyes determine what fills you. Your eyes determine what fills you. So for instance, if my eyes look at fear, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be filled with fear, right? I remember when I was a kid, you know, I don't really watch horror movies or anything like that. I'm not criticizing people who do, I don't, but I'm not preaching against is what I'm saying, but I am saying this. When I was a kid, some of my friends watched a horror movie, and then I watched it with them, and when I went to bed tonight, that night, I was pulling the sheets up like the sheets is going to protect you, right? But I'm pulling up and I'm looking out the window. And then somebody reached, you know, in the movie, I saw somebody reach from under the bed and grabbed them. So now I'm like looking, you know, I'm too scared to get up and look under the bed, you know. But what happened is that fear got in me. Fear filled me because of what I looked at. Okay. And so what you look at determines what fills you. So if you look at temptation, you're going to start being drawn toward temptation. Okay. If you look at Christ, then all of a sudden now you're going to be filled with hope. You're going to be filled with peace, strength, clarity. If you look at his word will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Then his word can set the direction for your life. And remember, we quoted David earlier in Psalms 119, verse 37. He said, turn my eyes from worthless things. There are some things that do not deserve your eyes. Right? So we need to focus our eyes on things that's going to help us and elevate us, not erode us. Amen. And so you move toward, another thing to remember is you move toward what you look at. You know, Miss Belinda's a runner, right? Everybody say, praise God for Belinda, right? Well, she's a runner. Well, if she's running, you know, a race, she's not going to be looking at the trees. She's not going to be looking this way. A runner is going to look at their path and stay straight on that path, and that takes them in that direction, right? As a matter of fact, if they look off, they can get into trouble. They can trip. They can get off course. You know, all those things can happen. Same thing with cyclists. A person that does cycling or whatever, they don't look to the left and check out the scenery. They're staying right on that path, right? Same with athletes, right? What's the first principle they tell you? Keep your eye on the ball. If you want to catch that ball, you better keep your eye on it. If you start looking at the defender, if you start looking at other things, you're going to miss it, right? Because you go toward what you focus on. And how many of you know this is a big one? When you're driving, you best keep your eye on the road, right? You go in the direction that you look at. Your eyes set the direction that you go, right? You know, I would not advise trying to go forward while you're looking backward, right? What's going to happen? An accident, right? And if you turn right, what do you do before turning? You don't turn right and you're driving like this. And you say, I want to turn right, and you go like this. No, you look right before you turn right. Why? Because your eyes set your direction, right? So this is a good illustration, but your steering wheel takes your car in a certain direction. Your eyes are like your steering wheel for your life. Wherever you look towards is what you're going to head towards, right? And so your eyes are like the steering wheel of your life. They set your direction. You move toward what you look at. You know, I was thinking about driving too, and, you know, you ever passed an accident? Now, if you pass an accident, you know, the natural tendency, I don't know about you, but a natural tendency is to look, right? So most of the time in my family, I'm driving, right? So I'm driving, we come up to an accident, and, you know, I can be tempted to, I'm driving, but, you know, you're trying to get a peek and see what's going on over there. You know, what happened? Has anybody heard? You know, what's the damage? What's going on, you know? And then my wife, if she sees me look, then she says to me, you drive and I'll look. You drive and I'll look, right? Why is she saying that? Because she knows your eyes take you in the direction that you look at, right? And the same thing, she'll say something similar. We'll go through, we've taken a trip or whatever, gone on a scenic trip and maybe gone through the mountains or going by the coastline or whatever. And so you see these big, beautiful mountains and so you're driving through the mountains on these windy roads that are not real wide. And I'm looking off like that. And she'll say, if you want to look, I'll change seats with you. What's that way of saying? You drive, I'll look, right? Because you can get into trouble if you don't, right? And she's right, because what you move toward what you look at. Well, the same thing is true absolutely spiritually. It's absolutely true. Whatever you think about becomes what you care about. Whatever you look at is the direction that you head. what you care about becomes what you pursue, right? And that's why the writer of Hebrews, he said, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So we can say it like this, keep your eye on the road, right? Keep your eye on Jesus. So your eyes fix your attention. Fix your eyes on Jesus, and he becomes your attention. See, whatever gets your attention gets your heart. Whatever you give attention to gets your heart, right? And whatever you gets your heart gets your life. And so, you know, sometimes we think Satan has to do this big thing to destroy us. But really, he doesn't have to do any big thing to destroy us. To change the trajectory of our life, all he has to do is distract us. All he has to do is to get our focus, our eyes off of Jesus and shift to something else, because he knows if he can get us to shift our eyes and our focus, then he just took us in another direction. Okay? And so that's what he tries to do. He tries to get us to shift our attention. If he can steal your attention, he can steal your direction. If he can steal your attention, he can steal your direction. Now, your attention sets the direction of your life. Your eyes determine your attention determines your direction, and your direction determines your destiny. Now, here's something else, is that your eyes determine your direction, check this out, more than your desires do. Your eyes determine your direction more than your desires do. Like, for instance, you can desire God's purpose, but if your eyes are focused on comfort, then you will drift toward complacency, right? I can desire purpose, but if I focus my eyes on comfort, I'm going to go to the comfort. Even though I say I have a desire for purpose, if I put my eyes on comfort. Just a simple illustration is I could say, you know, I want to spend some time in the Word. And so you say, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch the Word. And somebody's in the living room and they're watching something. And all of a sudden a preview comes on about a movie that's getting ready to start. And then you lift up from starting to read your Bible. You look up and look, and everybody in the house is like, yeah, we want to check that movie out. Let's watch that movie. Okay, let's watch that movie, right? Nothing wrong with watching the movie, but it's easy for us to get distracted. And it's not so much our desires, but it's what we put our eyes on. It's what has our attention that can take us in that direction, right? And so we can say we desire growth, but if our eyes are on pleasure and recreation more, we're going to move toward that. We can just say we desire holiness, but if our eyes are on sin, we're going to drift toward that, right? Whatever you set your eyes on sets the direction of your life. We can desire God's will, but if our eyes are on the world's approval, then we're going to compromise, okay? And so that's why it's important to put our eyes on the right thing. Jesus had a vision and kept his eyes on that vision. He had a vision and he kept his eyes on that vision. And that's why he was able to grow. He was able to fulfill his purpose. He was able to make a difference everywhere he went and impact the lives of others. The writer of Hebrews, let's look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. And I want to read this to you this time from the Message translation. But the writer of Hebrews talked about, in Hebrews chapter 11, right prior to this, he talked about the pioneers and heroes of the faith. They fulfilled the will of God. They did things for the kingdom of God. They carried out God's commands. And then he tells us what to do. So in other words, how do we do the same things? Because God has called all of us to do things for the kingdom of God. So how do we do that? Well, he tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 1, Message. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. I like this. No extra spiritual fat. Don't you like the Message translation? No parasitic sin. Notice this, verse 2. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. God doesn't want us to just start the race. He wants us to finish the race. Study how he did it. Because notice this, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. How did Jesus fulfill his purpose? He never lost sight of where he was headed. He didn't allow the world, distractions, or the enemy to take his eyes off of God and off of the plan of God, right? And that's the same way that we would do it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Study how he did it. So in other words, do we have a vision for going spiritually? Then never lose sight of that. Do we have a vision for growing spiritually? Never lose sight of that. Do we have a vision for a greater marriage? Never lose sight of that. Making a difference, never lose sight of that. Advancing the kingdom of God, never lose sight of that. Funding and making provision for the kingdom of God, never lose sight of that, right? What you behold is what you become. Now, last week I kind of mentioned that sometimes when we're talking about some of these type of things, we can see things when we get in the Word and then we hear messages and we think about, okay, well, I've made some progress, but I know I'm here, but I want to be over there, right? And so sometimes there's a gap between where I am and where I want to be or where God wants me to be sometimes even. And so the question then becomes, how do I bridge that gap? How do I narrow? How did I bridge that gap? Because sometimes that gap can be a ditch. Sometimes it can be a stream. Sometimes it can be a creek. And sometimes it can be a river. And sometimes it can seem like an ocean, right? But how do we bridge that gap, right? We bridge that gap by fixing our eyes on Jesus and staying focused on him. And this is not a one and done thing. I wish it was, but it's not. How many of you know it's a daily dedication to keep our eyes focused on the right thing, right? It's constantly beholding. It's fixing our eyes on Jesus, on the goal. That includes us asking God for help, right? Sometimes we can all live with a certain level of complacency because we may read the Word, we may come to church, we may do different things. And so we can have a tendency to think, well, you know, I'm doing okay, right, spiritually. But David prayed a prayer that we can all pray in our life in Psalms 139, 23, and 24. He says, point out in me anything that offends you and lead me in the path everlasting. What was he saying? He said, Lord, how many of you know God's omniscient? He knows everything. So I'm not omniscient. I don't know everything. I have blind spots. So we can pray and ask the Lord to reveal things in me that need to be changed. And I'll say this, from my experience, that's one of the quickest prayers God answers. Because he loves you and he wants to position you for his purpose. He wants to help you develop and grow. He wants to bless you to the maximum. And sometimes that requires change, right, on our part. So we can pray and ask God. And then when God shows us something, here's something important. When God shows us something, we have to embrace it. Because sometimes embracing something we need to change, we can say we want to, but when we actually hear it, it's not as fun as we thought it was going to be. Right? But we have to embrace it. Because when we embrace it, God is transforming us, he's changing us, he's healing us, he's delivering us, he's positioning us for greater use, he's positioning us to strengthen our relationship with him. And so all these positive things come as we do this. And so our job is to keep our eyes focused on the right thing. Now, it's easy to get distracted, right? The only man other than Jesus that I know of in the Bible that walked on the water was who? Peter, right? And the Bible tells us that he looked at Jesus and acted on the word, and he violated the laws of nature, right? He walked on the water. You know, we give Peter a lot of grief, but when's the last time any of us walked on the water, right? But the reality is he violated the laws of nature. He entered into the supernatural realm. He experienced a miracle. But the Bible very strategically tells us that he walked on the water until he took his eyes off of Jesus and put them on his circumstances. The Bible very specifically says that he looked at the wind when he began to look at the wind and the waves. He began to sink. So when he looked at Jesus, he was heading toward Jesus. When he looked at the wind and the waves, he began to sink. So we have a constant opportunity, right, to keep our eyes focused on him, because how many of you know sometimes our circumstances and our environment can be screaming at us for attention. Just like sometimes, like when you said, when I was talking about driving, you driving by these beautiful scenes, it's hard not to look. Right? You pass by, it's hard. There are distractions that come, but are we going to keep our eyes on him? Now, I'll tell you a funny story. It wasn't funny at the time, but it's funny now. But one time talking about how it impacts your life and how you have to stay focused. One time I was driving and I was going through a neighborhood, so there wasn't a lot of traffic in the neighborhood. And so this was, it was a little while ago when they had these things called CDs. Y'all remember them? You know, but it had a CD. I had a CD player and had a CD pack. And so I got a CD I wanted to play. And so I went to grab that CD. And when I did, I fumbled it and dropped it in the passenger side of the car. I'm driving by myself. And so me being the brilliant person I am, I thought, well, you know, instead of stopping the car, I said, well, I can just reach down real quick and pick it up, right? It's just right there. I just have to take my eyes off the road just for a second. There's no cars around me. I'm not going real fast. You know, all these things start spinning in your mind, lightning quick, right? And so I thought, okay. So then I reached down, but whatever you look at is the direction you head. So when I looked down, notice my hand, it went like this. And so I grabbed the CD, but about the time I grabbed the CD, I heard and felt, dunk! And I hit the curb and blew my tire on my car. Okay? Now, why did I experience that? Because I took my eyes off the road, right? And well, how many of you know I keep my eyes on the road now, right? But I think sometimes we can make a mistake sometimes because when we're driving through life, we keep hitting things and we just say foolish stuff. I'm talking about myself too. Like you're driving down the road and boom, you hit a rock and you say, man, that rock disappears. Or you hit, you know, a pothole, that pothole just appeared, or you hit a tree. The tree just appeared right in front of me, right? When the reality is the rock, the tree, and the pothole never appeared, I just wasn't looking. I didn't have my eyes where they needed to be, so I experienced some accidents because I was looking in the wrong direction. And it wasn't because Satan just threw something at me, and it just appeared right in my path, but he planted something that took my attention, and then I experienced an accident because I took my eyes off of where they needed to be, okay? Now, so then we have to look at, okay, well, when the Bible tells us keep your eyes on Jesus, there's a reason, right? You can avoid some accidents in life, right? And thank God he puts us back on the path even when we do have some fender benders, right? Now, finally, let me wrap up this morning with this. Your direction determines your destiny. Your directions determine your destiny. And let me say that sometimes going through life, there are things that occur that you didn't take your eyes off the road that was just Satan trying to, you know, mess you up. But I'm simply saying that sometimes we blame Satan for things and it's because we took our eyes off where they needed to be, okay? Your direction determines your destiny. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest focus. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest focus. One of my favorite quotes is from Ralph Waldo Emerson, and it beautifully illustrates what we're talking about today. He said, sow a thought and reap an action. So before you do an action, it generated with the thought. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Okay? I said it again. Sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. I think that's powerful because it goes back to what you're thinking, which goes back to what your eyes are focused on. Your destiny is a result of your thoughts and focus. So if your eyes set the direction of your life, what you're heading towards, right? So if you focus on bitterness, then you're going to have a destiny of bondage, okay? If you focus on lust, you have a destiny of regret. If you focus on fear, you're going to have a destiny of limitation. If you focus on Christ, then you can have a destiny of purpose, wisdom, power, grace, and fulfillment, right? God shapes your destiny when you fix your eyes on Him. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, He said, keep your eyes on Jesus. When I keep my eyes on Jesus and I'm focused on Him, then my steps become clear. Because the Bible says the path of a good man are ordered by the Lord, right? When I keep my eyes on Jesus, then your path becomes clear. Because the Bible says in Proverbs that the path of the just is like a shining light that gets brighter and brighter, right? So God makes His path clear. As I'm focused on following Him, He makes my life brighter and brighter. And so your purpose becomes activated. Your destiny becomes aligned with God's plan and purpose for your life. And so this morning, I want us to understand that your eyes have the power to change your life. What you focus your eyes on, you give attention to. What you give attention to determines direction, and direction determines destiny. So I want to ask you this morning, what are we looking at? What are we looking at? What has my attention? What is shaping my vision? Is my focus leading me toward God's destiny or away from it? And let me help us all out. We all need this, right? We mentioned asking the Lord to point out areas of our life to make adjustments, but it's also, you can also ask the people closest to you, sometimes the people that live in your own house, because those in your own house know you better than anybody else, right? And there have been times in my life when I knew something, you know, I knew something needed to change. And if I was brave enough, I would ask my wife. Now, why do I say brave enough? Well, both of us have to be brave, really, because I have to be brave because I want to know something that needs to change. And then she's got to be brave enough to tell me the truth, right? So there is bravery and bravery on both parts that's involved. But I had to be brave to prepare to hear the truth, and she had to be brave to share it. Now, why do we have to be brave? Because the truth can be painful, right? The truth can be painful sometimes. Something you need to adjust, something you're not doing right, some way you're not thinking right. It can be difficult to challenge. In the book of Galatians, Paul was writing to the churches there, and he told them some things and, you know, dealt with them over some things, rebuked them some things. But there's a verse in there where he says this: do you hate me because I tell you the truth? Right? So in other words, how many of you know we should love people that love us and tell us the truth, not hate them? But there can be a tendency because it can be painful sometimes, right? Then also spiritual leaders can be a great help as well, because they have insights, being over us in the Lord. They have insights into our lives. And, you know, I have some spiritual mentors in my life and pastors and different things. And so sometimes I would just ask them direct questions. What do I need to work on? Sometimes I'll present something or share something and I'll say, I'm thinking this way. Am I thinking correctly about this? Right? And so God has placed spiritual leaders in our life, and they have oversight over us. And so the Bible says they watch out for our souls as those who must give an account, right? So God has placed them in our life to give us spiritual leadership and oversight. And so let me say this to you. I thought it was kind of funny, but you know, there's a saying, you ever heard that saying? I think it may be military, or they use it in different places. If you see something, say something, right? Well, let me switch that up just a little bit. God, because how many of you know if we're led by the Spirit of God, we're sensing sometimes He wants to do something in us, right? So if you see something, say something. If you sense something, do something. Right? Because sometimes I believe God is dealing with us about things, but we don't want to hear it right now. Whew. Sure is quiet in Abundant Life this morning. But the worst thing we can do is sense something that God wants to change or work in us and dismiss it. Because He wants to improve His relationship with us. He wants to position us for greater use. He wants to position us so His full blessing can come into our life. And a lot of times that's contingent upon us receiving and embracing what we've been sensing and making adjustments, right? So God is calling all of us, right, to look at our eyes, to keep our eyes focused on the right things, because our eyes set the direction of our life. That means we have to lift our eyes above the noise of life, the distractions that come, the fear that comes, to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why? Because whatever our eyes look at, we give attention to. Whatever we give attention to sets our destination. Our destination determines our destiny. And God has a good destiny for us. We just got to keep our eyes on the road. Amen. Thanks for joining us. We encourage you to share this message with your family and friends. Please check us out on our website at abundantchurch.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.